Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Candy Taylor Jeter, and I have a wonderful show in store for you today. I'm here with my guest, Jeff Gitterman. He's the author of Beyond Success, and he's the co-founder of Beyond Success, which is a coaching and consulting company. And what they do is they incorporate holistic ideas into the world of business and finance, and we all know how important that is. And I've really been interested in his philosophy because he has a book entitled The Same Thing, Beyond Success, and I've had a chance to look over the material, and it's very much in line with some of the ideas that I've been sharing over the past few weeks with you all. And I'd like to bring him on. We only have 30 minutes. I used to have an hour, but due to some changes, they've kind of relegated us to 30 minutes. And we'll tell you a lot more about Jeff as we progress through the conversation. So without further ado, Jeff, if you're there, I'd like for you to come on in and grace us with your presence and information that you have to offer.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, good having you. So if you would, I'm going to let you just give us a briefing of how did you get started with this idea? I think this is a very good way to approach business. It's very much needed and it's very timely. What was your inspiration for this?
Well, I think I was fortunate to have struggled for a long time trying to make money and then finally got to a place of monetary success and still found that there was a lot missing in my life. I didn't have that feeling that I think everyone imagines who doesn't have money, that, God, if I just had enough money, I'd feel so much different about my life. And I lecture around the country to lots of successful salespeople, and they can all remember thinking, you know, if I just made X amount of dollars, I'd feel like I was in heaven. And yet nobody feels that way long after they've passed even that X dollar amount. So I started doing some deep soul searching about what was really missing for me, and if it wasn't money, and if that didn't really mean success anymore, then what does success really mean?
Great. Yeah, that is something that aligning our purpose with our work kind of brings that full circle, because you just learn so much about yourself once you start working. When you do make it about money, and then you feel very stressful because you're not in line with your purpose, and then if you get in line with your purpose, you kind of feel like you're not really doing what you need to be doing as far as money is concerned, because sometimes we feel like we need to choose. So to bridge that together and to kind of make that work, you know, with a unified force is just an amazing thing. And why do you think most people measure success by the amount of money they earn?
Well, you know, in our country, it's just a cultural lesson that we learn. You know, if you travel around the world, it's certainly not true in many other countries, but in our country and in most of Europe, developed Europe, you know, the truth is that we have a culture that defines success by how much money you make and how much stuff you have, and it's ingrained in us from a very early age, and it's very difficult, especially if it's not, you know, taught to you in any way or you don't experience it anyway, it's very difficult to break out of that mold. You know, in the book we say that spiritual people are having a financial crisis today, and financial people are having a spiritual crisis today. And we're trying to be the bridge to bring those two worlds into one, that it shouldn't be two different worlds. You know, too many Wall Street people go to church on Sunday or temple or whatever it might be, and then check their fundamental moral and ethical, religious and spiritual values at the door when they show up for work on Monday. And it's not two separate lives that we're living. We're supposed to be living one life, one integral life. And
mm-hmm.
like you said, you know, to me, your work is your spiritual journey, or it should be. It shouldn't be
right.
that you have a spiritual journey that you do on Saturdays and or Sundays, and that you have a work journey that occupies most of the rest of your life that doesn't incorporate that. That's not how it's supposed to be.
Right. Well, in looking at the four pillars of success that you have been inspired to come up with, I want to get into those. I was really excited when I was looking over it. And if you don't mind, you know, if it's not anything else in particular you would want to share, I would like to get started going over that.
Sure. And I just want to frame it by saying that this book is kind of written, since I am a financial advisor, it's written as a financial or a plan, I should say a financial plan. It's written as a plan for your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the internet today is called the kind of the attention economy is the nickname for what goes on the internet, because everyone that's working on the internet, all the companies are always vying for how to capture your attention. I mean, they have programs that tell, like, where your eyes go when you first look at a home page and where your attention is going when you're surfing the internet. And companies actually advertise to your attention stream. So they find out where your attention is going first and then advertise to it. So to me, to break out of that cycle that we were caught in, that trapped in this kind of capitalist, keep buying crap that we don't need cycle, we had to figure out what was going on with our attention and how to recapture control over our own attention stream. And, you know, it kind of hit home for me when I started just thinking about the terminology that we use around attention. Like, you know, people will say, you have to pay attention. And if you think about that, that's such an odd thing. Like, why would you use pay as the word for what you do with your attention? So if you're paying with your attention, and ultimately you really are, and corporations have figured this out, because where your attention goes, that's where your money flows right after it. So if you pay with your attention and we want to break the cycle, then what I came up with was a plan for our how to regain control of our own attention. And it starts with this acronym CORE, C-O-R-E. And I like to work out a lot. So, you know, the big thing today is you have to start with the core if everything else is going to work. So that's why I thought it was a good, you know, terminology. And basically, C stands for connecting to source.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the word source because, you know, I went back and forth about this, and I found in a think tank between Microsoft and a financial company, ING. So I wound up representing ING in a think tank out in California for a week. And I had lots of conversations with the Microsoft technology people, who mostly are atheists because they're very engineer and technology driven, about how to come up with kind of a common word for something other than us, something more spiritual, something that we come from, or God, or whatever terminology we put on it. And I was bannering around this word source with them and just saying that, look, you know, why can't we start after the name? Because if we start to have a discussion about what that is, what source is, then we get bogged down in whether it's Jesus or Moses or God or Muhammad or Krishna or, you know, Buddha. So we get caught up in the word. But if we can just say source, that we all come from source, and then you are free before we start the conversation to name source whatever you want, then we can start after the divisiveness around religion and spirituality. So that's why connecting to source for me was the most appropriate terminology to use. So whatever that is, and however you make that connection, you know, we talk about meditation in the book, and not a spiritual religious-based meditation, just a mindfulness-based meditation, because you're looking at your attention stream. So if you can just sit in the morning and pay attention to the source of your attention stream, wherever that might be coming from, we don't have to argue about that. If you can just watch it, then you can start to gain some sense of control over it. because right now it's just kind of meandering on its own on a 24-hour basis, and our emotions are just dumping on to whatever random thought we happen to pay attention to in the moment. So connecting to Source for me is about just spending like 15 minutes every morning just watching your own mind. Where does my attention go? Where is it wandering to? Is it always wandering to negative thoughts? Is it always worried? Is it always in fear? You know, let's just get to know me for 15 minutes a day. And then I can start creating a more peaceful foundation to be able to face the world with. And I can start seeing more about, like, if I want to know my purpose, the only person I should be looking at is me. You know, I shouldn't be asking 800 people or be on Facebook or Twitter. Or that's not how I'm going to find my purpose. I'm going to find my purpose by looking directly into my own heart and my own mind. And that's what connecting to Source is about. We give different exercises in the book, and you can go on YouTube also and YouTube my name. But we give different examples about, you know, how to do that, that are fairly simple and not dogmatic in any way.
Okay, I put a link to your book on this show, so as we send the link out, it will have where listeners and anyone you want to send the link to as well can listen to it and actually click on it and go straight to Amazon for you, so or for them, rather. But that is very important. That's very important because I find that especially those of us who do have this awareness that you're speaking of, we can get in that space, but then maybe something will happen that will pull us out of that space, or we allow it to pull us out of that space, and we can, you know, very much get off track. And like you say, everyone has their way of doing things. As far as that's concerned, I just remember a time when I was self-employed and I wasn't attacking things the way people were attacking, you know, getting this and grabbing that. And I was very much at peace during that period of time, and things always worked out. And I could not really figure out why, but they did. But something happened where I felt like, oh, my goodness, I need to get more. I need to change the way I'm doing it. And I did it out of fear. And I started looking at other people who were having the type A, go-get-it kind of thing, and it was working for them. And I was thinking, well, I guess that's what I need to do if I want more. And that was when I started running into roadblocks. And then I finally, after complete exhaustion, realized that after I sat with myself and after I studied myself and after I looked at some things, you know, in my personality, in my chart, in my purpose, and in my assignment in this life, the way that I'm to approach things is to increase my intuition and my faith. And that's how I was doing it, and it was working, and everything was provided. And when I came out of that to copy someone else, which is why that allowing other people to get it the way that they get it best just works. That's why your philosophy resonated with me. And I guess that would be the one pillar of practicing silence I see that you have in here. And that's really important. To do that, and that's getting increasingly difficult with all of the distractions we have today.
Right. It certainly is, and, you know, it's very hard, you know, to talk about attention deficit disorder being rampant among kids and adults today, and that's because we're always paying attention to these minute fragments of information that keep passing by. I mean, even the news has breaking news in the middle of the news, and you know, our beepers and our phones, and it's just a constant barrage of our attention going outward and always being pulled in different directions. And our kids have a very, very, very hard time paying attention because they're so used to paying attention to a multitude of things outside of themselves. They don't really have any sense of being able to just be at peace. Their attention is always running, and they get completely bored and disinterested the minute they don't have five things to pay attention to.
Well, what is the best way to find this sense of purpose that we're discussing here? What is it? What are some of the suggestions that you have for us?
Well, you know, again, we start with spending 15 minutes a day just paying attention to your own heart and mind. And then where we go from there is we ask people, once they've started that practice, to write down every night at the end of their day when they get in bed, what was the best 15 minutes of my day? It doesn't matter what it was. You know, if it was playing with the grandkids, if it was tinkering with your car, whatever the most peaceful, fastest time passing moments that didn't bore you, that where you felt engaged and awake and alert, like what were the best 15 minutes of your day? And you do that for a month. And then we actually pair that with what are things in the world that really bother you that if you had all the money in the world and all the time in the world, you would spend your time trying to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're done, and you don't look back every day, so you just do this for a month, and then at the end of the month, you kind of put it away for a week, and then we sit and we look at it, and we try to determine what is it that you like to do the most, and how can we pair that up with something that you really want to change in the world? Is there any tie-in that we could come up with between those two things? Is there a job, a hobby, something that you can get started in that pairs up what makes you feel purposeful with something that you can actually impact the world with? And the people that do that, you know, I had a radio show for 2 years interviewing people all over the world that radiated like real purpose, like just, you know, like you'd meet them and they felt like they were on fire and they engaged you and you walked out of meeting or talking with them feeling more alive and alert. And those are the people that we interviewed for 2 years, and what we found is that those people, you know, were completely engaged with a purpose that they felt the world really needed. So they woke up every day feeling, you know, needed, important, purposeful, filled with passion, and it didn't matter whether they made $30,000 a year or they were millionaires. It didn't. That wasn't the criteria. They just had to radiate that passion every day that they needed to be engaged in the world for the world to be a better place.
Right, right. Now, this is with the pillar three of the four pillars talks about the importance of forward vision, you know,
right,
with your unique creative expression. That is, you know, leading into that, that is what really, you know, fires most of us up, you know, who are very passionate about our purpose. Can you go into
right.
that? Into that?
Yeah, so what I'd like to tell people, if I could give them one message, is that you are the director of your own movie, and you're writing the script of your future movie every day. So the thoughts that are running through your head on a daily basis, not what you think you want or desire, but the actual thoughts that you're thinking all day, are constantly writing the script of the movie that you are going to show up in 2 to 3 years from now. So if your thoughts are the same every day, and yet you're hoping for some big change in your life, you can forget it, because you're going to wind up in the same place that you are now because you keep writing the same script for yourself. So the way to change that is, and we kind of give people like a shortcut, because it's very hard to change your thinking patterns without, you know, help and maybe therapy and other things. So what we give people is this concept that you make a movie of yourself 2 to 3 years from now, living the perfect life where you're doing your purpose in a really big way in service for others. So it's not about you having a lot of money, and it's not about you driving a fancy car or a big house. This isn't the secret. This is about you, like, living in the world in a big way without fear and helping the world and serving the world in some way. So, you know, if you're on a radio show now, maybe you're moving in 2 to 3 years as you're the next Oprah, and you're on a national TV show, and you're interviewing people like me every day that are talking about spiritual values and trying to make the world a better place. So, you know, that might be your movie. And you play the whole movie every night before you go to bed. So, you know, it takes 2 to 3 minutes, and it's from you waking up in the morning to where you go, what you do, with as much sense and I should say with as much senses involved as possible. So, you know, you want to see it, hear it, smell it. You want to see yourself on TV and, you know, you're interviewing, I don't know, Deepak Chopra or something that afternoon. So this is the movie that you play every night. And then during the day, when you start seeing yourself caught up in a negative thought pattern, like worried about the bills or worried about your job or whatever negative thought pattern you're thinking, you just replace that negative thought pattern with your movie. You just daydream about your movie. And it's imperative. And a lot of people think it just can't be that easy. But the truth is that it already has proven itself to work. Because if you're living the same life that you lived 3 years ago, thinking has been the same for the last 3 years, that you've just proven to the world and yourself that your thinking creates your future reality. So let's just try. I mean, what does it cost? What is the actual cost to you of changing your thinking for a while and seeing if you show up as a different person in the future? If you can write a different movie for that role. And, you know, Albert Einstein said imagination encircles the world. It's true. Your image, so the word imagination has the word image in it. Your image is trapped in your imagination. So if your imagination and your subconscious is always focused on the negative and you're always stuck in the same place and your life isn't changing, then you have to use your imagination to unlock a different image of yourself so that you can arrive there in the future. Because you can't change today, but you can impact where you're going to show up at in the future. You can write a different movie now.
Right, right. I really love the statement, there's nothing to get. That is just, it speaks volumes, you know, in the fourth pillar. There's nothing to get, you know. When you're really inspired and when you're really working from the heart and when you allow your ideas to move from your head to your heart, you immediately kind of don't even feel that need to, oh, I have to get this or I have to do that. Some of my best creations have been things that I didn't plan. Somebody may have asked me on that day, you know, what do you have planned for the day? And I may say, I don't know. And then, you know, by the end of that day or the next day, I could have spent the whole day creating a whole idea that I was inspired that just, you know, flowed to me. So can you explain what you mean when you say there's nothing to get?
Yeah. So it's very hard for people to just grasp, but just imagine that there's this switch. So I like to look at human beings as a doorway between infinite space and energy and the finite world. And right now we stand in that doorway and there's a light switch at that doorway. And the light switch right now is off. So it feels really dark. And we think that there's something in this world that we can get that can fill us with light. And the truth is that we have it backwards. The truth is that if we can flip the switch and realize that we're the light shining into the world, that the world has absolutely nothing to give us. We have everything to give to the world. We have all of our light and creativity to shine into the world. Then that's the secret to changing the world. Because, you know, right now the world is suffering from diminishing resources, diminishing attention, and it's because all of us, or I should say the majority of us, are trying to suck everything out of the world that we possibly can. So, of course, the world is running on low. But if we can realize that the world actually has nothing to give us, and we're actually here to give the world our energy and light, then everything changes. The whole concept of being a human being changes. Like, what are you here for? You're here to express your light and creativity in whatever unique form that is. I mean, it could be Michael Jordan. It could be, you know, Oprah. It could be Deepak Chopra. Like, whatever it is, you could be the greatest plumber in the world. At every house you show up to, you bring light into that house and you touch the people with your, you know, love and energy. So it's not about something huge. It's just about you finding your unique creative way to shine your light into the world and be more concerned about that than getting something out of the world.
Right. When you speak of sharing your light and sharing what you have to offer, many of us critique that before we actually share it, you know,
right,
and get
right
stuck in that perfection mode where we feel like, okay, maybe it's not bright enough, maybe it's the wrong shade of light, maybe I need to adjust the light. You know, how do you get past insecurity of the light that you have? Maybe you're aware of the light, but maybe you're afraid, okay, well, maybe this is not the right light or the right time to share the light, and I need to tweak it a little bit more. How do you get past that and just share?
So the easiest thing is to do it with strangers at first, you know, because I acknowledge the fact that there's such underlying energetic drama with anyone that you're in relationship with, that to all of a sudden wake up today and say, well, you know what, I'm going to share my light with my husband today. And then the minute you do that, you don't get back what you're expecting, and it all always goes down to expectation. It's just, in any relationship, there's layers of expectations that start to build up that are unmet, because it's just the truth of humanity, and when they're unmet, you start to resent the other person. So start it with strangers, people that you know barely know, the grocery clerk at the supermarket, the guy behind the dry cleaning counter, the postman. And it starts very simply with just asking someone an open-ended question, like, how's life? How's the day going? How's life going for you? I mean, that's what I always ask people. I ask people in an elevator, how's life treating you? And you'd be surprised how a stranger in an elevator, if you are really open and really mean it, will completely unload on you. But in that moment, when you allow them the space to do that, if you're not fettered by that, if that doesn't bog you down, if you can just let them throw up on you for a minute, it actually changes their day completely. Now, they go on in their day with, you know, a little bit more of a, you know, a skip in their walk, or a little bit more of a smile, or just the ability. It's a very energetic thing. Most people don't understand the kind of nuance of it, but you allowing someone else to take your undivided attention for a few minutes allows them to feel a little bit lighter and unload a little bit. And that is such a subtle thing, but when we have people do it, we coach people and we have them go out and start doing it, that pillar is the one that people see an impact most quickly from. They're like, wow, you know, I did it 3 times today, and each time I was, you know, engaged, wound up being engaged in this great conversation. I met this great person and wound up, you know, introducing me to someone else. And the things that happen just from you giving the gift of your attention to another human being, because we're all attention deprived. So you gifting your attention, you know, freely dramatically changes it. It's why people love going to the hairdresser, you know, because a good hairdresser allows you to dump on them for the 45 minutes or 2 hours that you're there getting your hair done, and you leave feeling better. It's almost like going to a therapist, but it's a little bit cheaper sometimes. Depends on where you're going. But it's the act that really transforms. I mean, people go to the hairdresser regularly, and they actually leave feeling better. It's not because their hair's done. They think that's why. It's because they got, you know, 45 minutes to have someone completely pay attention to them.
Yeah, you know, being a cosmetologist all my working life, that's what I enjoyed about it. And I think that's where I ended up, you know, being inspired to go deeper into adult education, coaching, and things like that. And you're right, people love it. They really do. And then they look better afterwards and they feel better. But, you know, this is why I don't like just having 30 minutes, because it's like we only have like a minute left. And I knew that it was going to be this way. And I'm just going to put you on the spot and ask you, because by the time I promote the show, people are going to want to hear more of what you have to offer, because this is just, so many people are talking about this. And I want to be able to have you back on to finish some of the things that we are discussing today. And I'll definitely contact you, you know, after all of this and discuss having you back on
anytime,
and going through that. Okay. And
absolutely.
I just want to just, you know, thank you for your time. And what I'm going to do is promote your book and things like that. I have some people that are waiting for some resources, and this is just phenomenal. And I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and I'll have you back on, and I'm going to have to end the show now and just have everybody that's listening, you know, reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. And I'll see you on the next episode.
Great.
Okay?
Thanks, Candy. Enjoyed it very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.